Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message from our guest speaker.
So, we're talking about impact. Let's just pray, because praying is a good place to start when you're talking about impact. Jesus, I just thank you for everybody, every single person in this room today. And I just commit this time to you. I just give it to you. Give you my words, Lord. And I just humbly come before you and ask that you'd guide me through this time, but guide us and just help us listen to you in this time. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, loved the prophetic word about the garden. Do you know that we were created in a garden, but we're going to a city? You know that? That's the new garden. And there's lots of people there, whether you like it or not. But, you know, whatever personality type you are. And so I just had this this scripture, which I love to read out in Revelation 21. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, and adorned for her is the husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Amen. This is the hope of our future. And you know what? It's taken some time, and it will have taken us some time when that happens. Yeah. And so I've been, last week I got to go out with the guys down in Windsor from the Lazarus Center. On Saturday last, I got to go out with the team here, and specifically David, who's sitting behind the computer at the back. We went out and we were just seeing God do lots and lots of stuff. And there was all this instantaneous, miraculous stuff going on. But when you are in a culture of the supernatural, like I believe we are here, how many understand that sometimes we get used to seeing the instantaneous, but then the supernatural also happens over long-term situations? Do you know that? Do you know sometimes we get impatient, don't we? Because we're like, we want the microwave meal instead of the more succulent spit roast kind of been going over and over and over again for a long time. And when we get into that situation, what happens is we can become disappointed when we don't see things happen quickly enough. And we create a context around our reality that begins to encourage disappointment. You have this saying in YRAM, our feelings are real, but they're not always the truth. We create this reality that sometimes things are bad and God is still good. Yeah, we heard it this morning. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about dreams. I want to talk about vision. And I want to talk about how God uses that in every day. Can we do that? Because I think you all have dreams from God. You have a dream about what God wants to do in your life, how he wants to use you, where you're going. You have a vision, a desire in your heart that is beating away. And God knows that. He knows you because he gave you that vision. He gave you that dream, and he wants you to work it out in your life. And I just see lots of people with lots of amazing dreams in this room. Lots of amazing vision. And he's saying to you that he has not forgotten that vision, and he has not forgotten those dreams. But there is some way, practical ways that we can walk out those dreams and those vision. And it's kind of like this morning we were doing the faith and evangelism class. And last week we talked about how we can reach the human spirit in order to impact them to make a decision for Jesus. But this week we were talking about conversation. And it was almost we were coming at it from very much a social kind of interaction, relational approach to evangelism, whereas last week we were talking about impacting the Spirit through the Holy Spirit gifts. And that can be wonderful. But we are all human beings, and we have a spirit, and we have a soul, and we have a body. Do you know who else had a spirit and a soul and a body? Jesus. And we believe that within that context, he is perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. And so if he came down to earth to show us that perfect theology, we must also consider not just the spiritual, but also the social within the realm of the soul, the relational, the will, the mind, the emotions, and also the physical in order to reach the world. It must be all of those areas, because God didn't create those areas, as well as the spiritual, for us to negate them or forget about them. We must consider the whole person, because Jesus came as a whole person to us. And so I love the term, and some of you might have already come across it, but the term naturally supernatural. I love that term because we want to be natural in our spirituality. We're still human. We still need to hang out with each other and have social times and drink coffee and eat good food and all of this stuff. And the world, the great thing about it is that the world needs that as well. And so if we, I relate to going out in the street and seeing God do miracles. That's how I operate. In fact, I saw some while we were out and I was just so encouraged. It's like, you know, it's freedom for me. But I understand that I must take into account as we release the gifts of the Spirit and release the Holy Spirit, that there is also a reason for that to be released within the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the soul of the person that we reach, but also in the physical needs. And as we go through this time today, I hope to talk to you in a way that would consider all of that. So how do we get our dreams and our vision down to everyday living? How do we work that? How do we scale that down? You might have a dream to reach your whole street or your whole neighborhood with the gospel, right? How would you start that? That's a big dream. You might have a dream to be used in the realm of business to provide for an orphanage in Africa, for example. You might never have told somebody that dream. You might never have discussed it, but you're holding it in your hands and you're saying, when is this going to happen? What does it take to bring that down to a scale that we can work with? And in YOM, we work with something called seed projects. And I'm going to explain, this is going to be a little bit of teaching. Are we okay with a little bit of teaching today? We're going to switch on our minds as well as our spirits and just look at God's word in a practical way. So in Matthew 13, verse 31, it says this, Matthew 13, verse 31, he puts another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. In other words, something that's really small, and we've often read this scripture, something that's really small can be something that gives, ends up growing and growing and growing until it gives shelter to other things. And there are dreams in this room, dreams in your life that I believe God wants to help grow in order that you can't just shelter the one, but you can shelter the many through your life. Do you know that your life itself is actually a seed? Your time, your energy, yes, and your money are seeds. We understand that. But sometimes we get disappointed because we see the big vision and we see what God's calling us to, but then we don't know how to actually do it every day. And I get this all the time, especially in places like Africa where I go. And we talk about, you know, building churches, and we talk about planting congregations, and we talk about having a whole buildings that are for a transformation of the community. But then they say to me, well, we haven't got the resources, or we haven't got the time. And so how do you start on that project? Well, what happens is you have the big vision, the dream, and the big picture of what you want to do. Build a church, start whatever it might be. Go and see your streets, you know, saved and transformed. And then you try to scale that down to the smallest possible denominator. Can we have slide two? Or actually, no, slide four, please. Thank you. And so what it looks like is your dream and your vision is the big part of this. It's the big picture. You want to be a missionary. You feel called to start an orphanage, whatever it might be, but you don't know how to do that. So, for example, a friend of mine wants to do a soccer outreach for 1,000 kids. Okay, that's his dream. What is his seed project? What could it look like? He doesn't have a lot of money. He doesn't have too much time. But he still feels like God's calling him to do this soccer outreach. What can he do? The first thing is he tries to raise money for one soccer ball. He raises money for one soccer ball, and he takes it down to the local park, and then he begins to play soccer. And that's his seed project. And as he does that, he begins to see, if you've done this, especially in the springtime here, watch the children come out and start playing with you. And then he meets somebody else in the church that also has the same vision to see sports as outreach. And they end up doing it together. The next thing you know, every Saturday morning, they have 10, 20 children meeting together in the park, playing soccer. And he gets to explain the gospel to them every week. And it all starts with buying one soccer ball. You see this? So a seed project is something, is the smallest common denominator of the bigger picture. For example, if you want to go on mission, what could be your seed project? Well, it could be financing another missionary. It could be adopting, as we've talked about in the Impact Conference, adopting a nation or a people group and praying for them. That could be your seed project. Or it could be if you want to start a community center, if you have something as big as that, maybe it's your job to go and do a questionnaire on your street. You ever done a questionnaire? Do you know what a questionnaire, a research questionnaire? You have 5 or 6 questions. You knock on the door of every house on your street and you say, I'm here. I'm thinking about doing such and such a thing. Would you answer these questions? And you begin to find out what we call is the perceived need. Do you know that as Christians, we often think we hold all the answers? But when we get out on the street and when we begin to interact with people, we realize that the answers that we thought were to the problems of the world are actually very different. And in missions, we often say it is better to meet the perceived need first than begin to meet the need that we think is needed. Because what happens as we do that is we create humility in our relationships with other people. We say, you're important. What you think is important to me. You know, many years ago, a team from Youth of the Mission was in outreach in Chile, in South America, and they had gone onto the streets over and over again, and every time they would go, it's a big team, it's like 70 people, every time they would go, they would just meet people, and the meet people would just, no, don't want to hear it, just go away. I don't want to hear about your God, I don't want to hear about whatever it is you want to say. And they began to say, why is this happening? We've been here 2 weeks and nobody's responded in any positive way, let alone given their lives to Jesus. And they begin to talk with the pastors and they begin to find out what's going on in the community. And they actually realize that what's happened is all of these other people have come in and they've basically preached the gospel in such an aggressive way that these people don't want to hear anything else about God anymore. Not only that, but then there's this history of the church, the local church, treating the people badly. And so when they hear that they're Christians, they're just like, no, thank you. And so do you know what they did? The 70 of them went to the plaza in the middle of the community, and they all knelt down. And they spent the whole day kneeling down and praying, kneeling down and praying, and say, God, we come in humility. Because we want to go low so that you can go high. And people would walk by them and they would see these 70 YWAMers, these 70 missionaries just kneeling down. And as they walked by all day long, their hearts began to change. And they began to open up. And that evening, they had a meeting and they prayed. And they decided to go out on the streets, but sit down on chairs and welcome people into small groups in the plaza. So they took some chairs with them, and they welcomed people. And you know, they had 20 or 30 people saved the very next day. Not only that, but there was impact in the local council, in the government. They met with an official and ended up praying for him, and all kinds of different things happened. The whole town opened up to them. It was because they came at it from a humility, a humble perspective. And they said, what's important to them? And so as we begin to reach out, as we begin to say, my big dream is this, but how can I do it on an everyday basis? We need to say, what is their need? And often that can be this idea of asking questions, finding out what these people are like, finding out what your neighbors need. What do they think the perceived need is, and meeting that? So I was finishing up my undergraduate degree, and my last class was in community transformation. And it's a community transformation from a Christian perspective. But it was a very, very intellectual professor that we had at the time in this lecture. But at the end of the class, he came up to me. He just walked up to me. And he just stood there, you know, like we do sometimes at the front when something prophetic is kind of happening with the person that we're kind of standing in front of. He kind of came up to me and stood next to me like this and just looked at me. I was like, this is very uncomfortable. And then he said, I have a word for you. I was like, what? In a university lecture hall? This is crazy. And so he said, I have a word for you. God's told me that the deep in your heart, he wants to use to meet the deep need in the world. And your deep is crying out to his deep, and he's going to use you to meet the deep need in this world. And I was like, it was literally my last lecture on my undergraduate degree. And I was like, what a way to finish. And so that kind of hung over me, this deep need. And I really feel like, as I was praying for this time, that there is a deep desire in your hearts. And God wants to use it to meet a deep need in the world. And it's from that point, it's not from a point of let's just learn and do it. It's from a point of passion. It's from a point of God's relationship with you that we learn how to reach out. It has to be. But you are deeper than you think. You are deeper than you think. God has such depths in you that you have not even discovered yourselves. And so in that, we know that God has put something deep within us that is supposed to be out there meeting the deep needs. So our responsibility when we're looking at this vision or dream that we have and kind of scaling it down to something we can handle is saying, well, where is the deep need that corresponds to the depth that God has put in me? Because if we start serving out of other places, we actually become dry very easily, because it's we're doing it. And there's always time to serve. Absolutely, there's always time to serve. But what I'm saying is when God gives you a calling, gives you a dream, gives you a vision, you're looking for that connection in the world. And where is that? Where those two meet? The deep of God in you and the deep need of the world, where is it that it meets? And that's often where God's calling you to go. And so as we look at this, you know, we're also looking over long term. So don't, what I'm trying to say is don't be discouraged at where you're at right now, because God's still working supernaturally, even if you don't see it. We know that, right? He's still working something. And so don't create a context of disappointment where actually there should be a context of, wow, I wonder what he's doing. I wonder what he's doing. And so I just want to, I understand, we understand disappointment. We understand the reality of the feeling of that. And I pray that God would heal us. You know, I have disappointments. We all have disappointments, don't we? But I want us to maybe look at it from a different perspective and from a perspective of faith. And so fast forward to this summer where I was in Kenya, and a guy walks up to me, and we are in the context of going to Kenya. I'm with a friend of mine, and we're ministering to a few hundred Kenyan people, wonderful Kenyan people, about teaching and training and seeing God's supernatural miracles happen, all kinds of different stuff. And we have this heart, in both of us can kind of confirm it to us, this heart to see the water crisis in Kenya solved. And so at the end of the time in this conference that we were speaking at, one of the other pastors from Kigali, another city in another nation, came up to me and said, deep cries out to deep. And God's about to give you the breakthrough. Now, he didn't know this, but God had so impressed on my heart and my friend's heart about the water crisis, that one of the terms in when you drill for water is breakthrough. When you see the water gush up through the surface of wherever you've hit that water reservoir underneath the surface of the earth, is actually called breakthrough. And that's what the goal is of that drilling process. And he gives me this scripture, which it says, God is going to be the God of your breakthrough. And so God begins to remind me of this word I'd had, like literally maybe 20 years ago or 15 years ago, from my professor, who said the deep in you is going to meet the deep in the deep need in the world. And of course, what other depths could you think of but for drilling wells? And God began to put all this picture together. Now, later on, I shared at the Impact Conference that God gave me a word of knowledge for a guy named Ray and a guy named Ken. And they ended up being people who are drilling wells. And God has knitted us together. And we continue to work on this project of drilling a well and having 5,000 families provided water as a result. That's the goal that we're looking to now. And so God fulfilled a word, a big picture word, what's the deep need in the world and the depth of me and how I can meet it, and the depth of God and his desire for the world, and where those things meet, that's where we're called. And it took time. It took time. It took years. But God was faithful to complete it. And I want to say that I feel like the atmosphere is so pregnant with dreams and visions and seeds and all this kind of stuff. My heart is that you would know that God remembers them today. God remembers your dreams. And he is holding them. And he is working on them. And yes, he's working in us to do what he wants to. But he's also helping us realize that this is the supernatural, is something that's long-term as well as instantaneous. And so let's just talk about that idea of bringing things down to scale. If you just click twice on that PowerPoint, David, at the back, there should be a line come up. Did it come up? Okay, it might not have a facility. But you can basically, if your big dream is to start an orphanage, and the first thing you should be looking at doing is working with one orphan. Am I right? Right? You should be looking at reaching one orphan. You should be looking at adoption to one orphan, or you should be looking at working with orphans, or you should be looking at your seed project might be getting a sociology degree in orphans or foster care. whatever it might be, or some kind of training. But you're looking at, oh, there we go, da-da. And then it comes up. And so you're looking at what is your faith and your resources. So what we often get kind of bogged down in is, okay, well, where is my faith at? Let's be realistic about this. Let's not try and, like, big myself up or put myself down. We want to be at right where God's called us to be. So if your faith is, okay, my faith is to start a degree, let's say. I like education. Let's start a degree. Then you go with that. If your faith is to reach one orphan, then you go with that. If your faith is just to talk to somebody who has an orphanage, go with that. And then we equate that also with our resources. And our resources are not just finances, but they are also time, energy, stress, mental capacity. All of these things have to be considered because that's how God made you. So we say that we want a seed project, which is a seed of the big picture vision, the big picture dream. A seed project is something that works with the resources we have. Okay? What can I do? Not, I want to do the big picture, or I want to do more, but what can I do with the resources I have? So this could be, one of the big things for Andrea and me is we notice when God puts our schedules together, yeah? And so I've just spent the last 10 years traveling at least a week to 10 days internationally, training missionaries all over the world. And I couldn't do that if Andrea didn't have the grace for me to do that. There's no way. And so what we've noticed is that for that time, there was an anointing is that for some reason, Andrea loved it when I was away. She had a good time. She was able to do things without, you know, me getting involved, and that was that. But then she loved it when I came back. There was a grace for it to happen. And also with that, there was also a schedule that we could use that was profitable for that. So if you have a dream and there's a seed project that you want to do, you need to ask God to open up your schedule. And that doesn't mean that you stop doing stuff at church. And it doesn't mean you stop doing stuff for your family. It doesn't mean, is it under the current circumstances, right? God, open up my schedule. So say you want 1 hour a week on a night. How is God going to do that? If that doesn't happen, you have to ask God, am I doing the right thing? Right? So we ask God for our resources, our time, our schedules. But we also ask him for funding. We know that for things like this, we need funding sometimes. So that might be money for a soccer ball. If you're trying to feed a lot of people that are hungry and homeless, it might be, well, do I have enough money to feed one person to have them over to my house and double my meal for that one person? Do I have that? Okay, if you don't, you need to scale down your seed projects again. Or you need to say, God, I have faith to see more money come in. All right? And so with that, we also ask the question with the seed project, is it sustainable? And this is from years and years of outreach and years of YWAM experience that this kind of material has come out. Is it sustainable? Can you keep it going? Or is this going to stress you so much that you will not be able to follow through? And so you need to ask yourself mentally, emotionally, you know, where am I at? Can I do this? Yeah? It's really important that we ask ourselves these questions. And then we also ask ourselves, well, what is the goal of this seed project? What is the goal of what I'm doing, this small part of the big picture? And is it achievable? And yeah, there's sometimes when God asks us to go beyond, way beyond, like kind of what we would normally reason and understand. But there's a grace, I think, that comes with just being realistic of where you're at. And I think sometimes we go straight to the top when we're looking, he really wants us to start down here. And that's the whole point of this teaching. And I hope it it's practical enough to help us get this going. So we start this seed project, whatever it might be. It's a seed of kingdom faith, but it's also a seed that is practical that we want to work out in our lives. And it's specifically focused on a need that's in our community or a need that is in somebody's life. And we then have the idea of we do it, but then how do we assess it? And so one of the main ways we assess it is, if you can go to slide 2, please, David, and then just bring up that first row. Great. So we look at it from a kingdom multiplication perspective, and I know that you've probably talked about this in different capacities in different ways, but what we want to see is that we do something small, but we want to see God multiplying it. And we've got to get, sometimes the multiplication can be so small, but it's still happening, that we need to keep our awareness up to see it. But this is how kingdom maths work, or kingdom math. A weak person times God equals strength. How many of you know that God uses you regardless of your weakness? How many times? We can all relate to that. If we can just put the second point up, David, please. And so this is the one we often use and we relate to. So we have a boy plus 5 loaves and 2 fish times Jesus equals food for 5,000 men plus women and children and 12 baskets left over. Okay? So when we do a seed project, we're looking for some kind of X factor like Jesus to come in and multiply what we're doing. If we can have the next one, please. So a widow plus 2 coins times Jesus equals 2,000 years of inspiration and giving. How much money has been given as a result of that story? I mean, if we could equate it over the centuries. Because Jesus comes in and multiplies something in a way that we cannot understand, yet it just happens. And the last one. A widow plus 1 cake times God equals 2 cakes of meals per day times 6 people, the widow, the son, Elijah, and 3 other family members times 365 days times 2 years equals 6,570 cakes. Talk about the best ever bake sale, okay? But, I mean, I can already see people standing, you know, at the counter in the kitchen is like, God, now's a good time. Now is a good time. Just multiply it. But look at the multiplication. And what we're looking at as we do the seed project, we say, where is the supernatural working? Where is God's blessing working? Where we see either somebody else come alongside us and say, I'm going to partner with you to do this. Or we see more people come and be benefit from what we're doing. Or we see some kind of massive impact in the individual's life as a result of what we're doing. That kind of supernatural increase needs to be present in order for us to discern God's blessing on it so that we continue. Does that make sense? So we look for God's supernatural multiplication. We look for some other things as well. Did you achieve your objectives? Did you, when you set out to achieve them, what were they? And did you actually do them? That's really important, whatever it might be. And in that, did God do something unexpected? If so, take account and listen to his voice in that. Maybe it's something that you're supposed to do again. Did the target people benefit? How many times do we do stuff and do we actually say, oh, did they actually like this? Did they actually get something from it? And we need to be, as Rod said at the beginning of this time, assessing if they actually got something out of it, what it was, and was it our objective? We need to be asking that question. And then finally, we ask ourselves, do I have enough mental space, time, and money, and the grace to continue this? And so then we do the seed project over and over and over again until we feel like it becomes the next stage. And that next stage might be, you know, we go from, for example, in the case of planting a church, we go from a house to a building. That might be, that's often one of the big cases of as far as multiplication. Okay, it doesn't always have to be to do with a building, of course. It could be just multiplication of people. It could be multiplication of impact on those people. It could be multiplication of funding. It could be multiplication of help. It could be multiplication of money. But we're looking for that supernatural blessing upon it. So you might have some new steps. If you feel it is successful, measured by God's criteria, and you pray about it, then you keep doing it, but you tweak it every time. And you make it something new, fresh, and help it to grow. If you feel like it wasn't successful, then you have also come into revelation and that you might be doing something that God has not called you to do. In which case, it's just as valuable because then you can ask him, how do I do what you've called me to do? And if you fear it is clear, God is clearly saying it isn't for you, then you can go on to that place where you're asking God for new and refreshed vision. And that is self-discovery, just like all of the other stages. Some of the benefits of a seed project is even if you do lots of seed projects, it is a great place to be. You're blessing people. You're constantly reaching out. Oh, this is my seed project, and I'm doing this to reach this person now, but I want to be able to do it there. Maybe you never get there, but you know what? Just doing seed projects is a wonderful way to live your life. You know that? Because you're planting seeds everywhere you go. Okay, so we're not always looking at achieving everything, but rather just asking God to keep us where he's supposed to be, where we're supposed to be. You may find all you do for a long time is variations on your seed project, but in a way, you are still fulfilling your dream. Let God grow things naturally, and we have this term organically. Don't be pushing all the time, but maintain good diligence, faithful work, and stewardship. But you can't make it grow yourself. Only God can make it grow. We plant, don't we? We sow, but he makes it grow. And it's the same with that seed of the kingdom, is that there's a point when you've done everything you can do, and it has to be God that comes in and does the rest. And don't we sometimes get stressed out by doing things in our own strength? We see the balance of good, diligent hard work and stewardship alongside God coming in and supernaturally blessing what we're doing, and that's where we see growth. Leave space for God. It doesn't have to be perfect. Do you know that? He is. He's perfect. So if you feel like you're doing something, you feel like, oh, I'm missing this or I'm missing that, then that's your place to say, God, come and make this perfect because I can't. This is the kind of grace that we need. And of course, I would also encourage you within this context of doing seed projects is that we are open to partnering with other people who are already doing what we feel called to do. It says Psalm 133, where there is unity, God commands the blessing. And so if you see somebody or a ministry that's already going on, you can make that your seed project, is helping that ministry. And then see what God does in your life as you begin to help that ministry. And you see what supernatural multiplication is, what support you get, what inspiration you get for the next steps. And all of those kind of things come with partnering with other ministries.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.